Good morning. I was blessed by the singing this morning. Does Jesus care? That's an old song, and yet it spoke to me this morning once again, especially in light of what we experienced as brothers at our retreat, and also because of what Brent was saying about death and how that has touched this community again. And the verse that I always go to during times of grief is the one up there when it says on top of the song there, "The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." What a blessing. "Comforteth us in all our tribulation." Does he care? Yes. Cared enough that he sent his son. And we're in the book, we're studying in Hebrews now, and we're the second chapter, the last verse. You know, he knows what we go through because he was there. And so he can succor them that are. He was tempted in all ways like we. We can't say to him, you don't know what we're going through, because he does. He does know what we're going through. So welcome to everyone to our service this morning. I am glad to see Brian back. And Matthew, there you are. Glad to see you back. And maybe, I don't think I missed any. I trust that we'll hear some more from you about your experience at Bible school. What a blessing. And we would see pictures occasionally and looked like you were enjoying yourselves. Welcome home. And I think Daryl's are here again this morning. Glad to have you here, Daryl. And those of you that are visiting here, Jeff and Louisa, congratulations. And we were excited to hear about your engagement. And we're grateful for God's mercy to us. The thing that's become precious to me the last years is a verse that's in our Sunday school lesson today. And I'm not preaching this morning, Dave is. But I'm just somewhat overwhelmed with what's happened this past week and the God's mercy to us and his presence with us. And the verse that's stood out to me, it talks about the immutability of God, which to me is how refreshing, how assuring. The scripture calls it an anchor, wherein the which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. To me, the unchanged, you know, we're called to change from glory, or as we behold, as Jesus is formed in us, we're called to change. If there's nothing changing in my life, we've got a problem. But isn't it assuring that God doesn't change? We're not waking up this morning and coming, "Did you hear the latest? It changed again." That's not our God. And that is such an anchor for the soul. God doesn't change. And I'm really glad that we have that faith, that trust, that confidence in God. There's no changing with our God. We have that as an anchor for the soul. This morning we have with us Brother Dave Yoder from Delaware, Dover or somewhere in that neighborhood. Been there a long time ago at Tuft funeral in that area, and that's the only time we ever visited there, but he's been a dear brother, and I don't think he needs much introduction. He has had meetings here at Sandy Ridge several times in the past. He was a good friend to Dave and Naomi, and we're blessed to have him here this weekend for men's retreat. Brother Dave, if you would come forward, we'll have prayer, and we'll give the time to you. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for this blessed privilege again of being together as your family, especially the family here at Sandy Ridge. And this morning, we have with us a dear brother that has spoken to us as men, and he has been led of the Spirit. And this morning, again, he has agreed to preach for us. Preaching is your idea. It's the way that we hear the word. And it's the way that we are instructed. And so, Lord, we come to you again this morning and ask you to fill our brother with the Holy Spirit. May it come to him what he's to share with us this morning. This is a youth Sunday. We pray a special blessing on our youth as they hear the word and also their Sunday school time together. We pray against Satan and the demons and his hosts in the name of Jesus and the power of the resurrected Lord through his blood that he shed. Satan has no room here this morning. And so we ask that your presence would even now fill us. Help us to be open to receive truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
A lot of memories come flooding into my mind and into my heart as I have the privilege of being here among you today. Good memories, times of rich fellowship and times of blessed encouragement. Memories of my dear friend, Dave. And his family. So there's just a lot of mixture of emotions that I'm feeling this morning, but I would tell you it's a tremendous privilege to be here and to share from God's Word to all of you. I love young people. I was a school teacher for a number of years. Though I'm 64, I have not forgotten what it was like to be a young person trying to find one's way in life. And through the years, God has given me a special affection and heart for our young people. And I would just say to all of us, we need to find ways to encourage our young people and to challenge our young people in their walk with the Lord. Affected by the worship this morning, I just want to refer to this one song. Savior, who died for me, I give myself to thee. Thy love, so full and free, claims all my powers. Notice this next phrase. Be this my purpose high, to serve thee till I die, whether my path shall lie mid thorns or flowers. Second verse, this all fits with the message. May it be joy to me to follow only thee, thy faithful servant be. And notice this phrase, thine to the end. For thee I'll do and dare, for thee the cross I'll bear. To thee direct my prayer, on thee depend. Then it's the third verse, Savior, with me abide. Be ever near my side, support, defend, and guide. I look to thee. I just like this picture. Young person, you can trust your Savior. I like this picture. I lay my hand in thine, and fleeting joys resign, if I may call thee mine eternally. Would you take your Bibles and go with me to Proverbs chapter 4, to a very familiar verse. As I realized the focus this morning was for youth, the Lord directed me to this passage of Scripture, which I'm sure many of us have memorized. Our text is found in verse 26 of Proverbs chapter 4, where it says this, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Let me say that again. Ponder the path. What a phrase. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. The word ponder means to roll flat. That's kind of an interesting definition. It means to prepare or to weigh, consider, think about. So Solomon is saying to us, ponder, consider, roll flat a pathway for your feet. And then he says, and let all your ways be established. The word established means this, to be erect. My wife sometimes says, Dave, stand up straight. Being tall, I have a tendency to kind of do this. She reminds me, Dave, stand up straight. Well, this word has the idea of being erect or to be rendered sure, to be fixed, or to make provision for. And what, young people, I'd like you to hear me say this morning from this passage, when you get to the end of life, and you may think that's a long ways off, but I'll tell you, when you're on the interstate of life, the mile markers flash by fairly quickly. But you know what I hope for you this morning? That when you get to the end of the life, you'll be standing erect. You will be fixed. You will be sure of your destination. Ponder, consider, think about, roll flat a pathway so that at the end of life you can stand erect, sure, and certain. The word ways means a road. It means a course of life on which you and I walk. It's a course of life that leads to a particular destination. It's not just any course of life. There are many courses in life. There are many paths in life. But we must realize that paths that we take lead to a destination. And the wisest man is saying, make sure that your ways are established. So the implication is that at the end of life, you can reach your destination standing erect. And if you want to end up in the right place, you need to make sure that you roll flat the path of life. So that means it's important, young person, and all of us here, that we evaluate our choices and decisions in life, the goals that we have, and that we establish the path that we want to take. You ever miss the road? All the frustration. GPS is a wonderful invention. But let me tell you, GPS isn't always right. It took my wife and I, we were headed to, I think, Indiana a number of years ago from Virginia, and we went through West Virginia, and our GPS took us into the middle of the mountains and hills of West Virginia, and it said destination. I mean, we were not anywhere near our destination. It was so frustrating and confusing. Seemed like we had gone around this mountain 7 times. I never knew there were so many mountains in West Virginia. It took forever to get to where we were going. Let's just say it's not a pleasant feeling to find out that the road you're on isn't leading you where you want to go. Young person, hear me well. I stood outside our house one night with a dear cousin's son. He was probably about 19 or 20. And in the shadows of our house, he looked at me with tears in his eyes and he said, "Brother Dave, I can't believe where I've allowed myself to go." Sometimes young people make these statements, "I would never do that," or "I would never go there," only to find themselves going where they never thought they would go and where they never really wanted to go. Should it surprise us that Jeremiah says, "The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And in another verse he says, "It's not in the way of men or man to direct his steps." And we know that Solomon, in our passage today, we know that Solomon ended up at a place that he never intended to go. And I believe in response to his own regrets, he admonishes all of us to pay attention to the path our feet are taking us. And young person today and all of us here, it is very critical that we pay attention to the path our feet are taking us. And so that's the burden of my heart this morning. It's the challenge of my heart that at the end of life, young person, you can find yourself standing erect and convinced and certain of your destiny. Some time ago, my son-in-law gave me a book by Andy Stanley entitled "The Principle of the Path." And this is what he says: "Direction, not intention, determines one's destination." Let me repeat: "Direction, not one's intention, determines a person's destination." Many of us depend on our good intentions to get us to where we want to go rather than paying attention to the direction of our lives. And so he goes on to explain this. He says, "The direction you are traveling today, relationally, financially, spiritually, morally," and you could go on and on with the list, "will determine where you end up in each of those areas of your life." And you know, we don't dispute that fact, young person, when it comes to getting on an airplane or a bus or a train. We know that the destination or the direction takes us there. But it seems like in life, sometimes we forget that the path or the direction of our life or the intentions that we have may not be leading us to where we really want to go. He goes on to give some illustrations. He says a single woman says to herself, "I want to meet and someday marry a great Christian guy who's really got his act together." But then she dates whoever asks her out, as long as he's cute. Young Christian says, You know, I want to develop an intimate relationship with God. But he gets up every morning and goes on internet or reads the newspaper. A couple says, we'd like our children to develop a personal relationship with God and choose friends who have the same goals. But then they skip church and go to the beach every other weekend or down to the lake. Newlyweds determine to be financially secure by the time they reach their parents' age. Then they adopt a lifestyle sustained by debt and leveraged assets. You get the point of what he's saying is that, you know what? Intentions do not necessarily determine destiny, but direction does. So what we're talking about this morning is the direction. And I would ask this question, young person. What's your heart's longing and desire this morning? Down deep. We sing that song, deep, deep down in my heart. We used to sing at school, deep, deep, deep. How deep can you get? Well, deep down in your heart. If I was able to talk to each one of you individually, I have this suspicion that each of you would say down deep, you know what, Brother Dave? I really want to do well in life. I want to have God's blessing on my heart and on my life. I want to be able to live in such a way that it honors God and that he's able to pour his blessing on my life. Well, let me just say something about that. If that's going to happen, you've got to be intentional about that. And it can't just be what you want up here. It's got to be what your actions accompany the direction and desire of your heart. So easy to choose the wrong path. There are three questions that were posed in this book that I'd like you young people to write down this morning. And by the way, I believe in taking notes. I know some of you get tired of notes. You say, Brother Dave, I'm in school all week long. And but sometimes, if you want to remember something, it helps to write it down. The first question that is important is, are there disconnects in my life? Are there disconnects in my life? Now, what that really means is this. Have I not understood the cause and effect of life? Man, my dad. See, my dad as a young man struggled. And out of that struggle, made a choice to follow Christ with all his heart. And he was determined that as children, we understood. And I can see the verse on an index card with the reference. Sometimes he would give us the reference, sometimes the verse. Verse was this, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There can be a disconnect in your life between sowing and reaping. Let me tell you, young person, there was a time as a young person that I would ask this question when I was tempted to do wrong. And I would say, what consequence will I face because of this action? Well, I'm going to tell you something. I don't question that anymore. Let me just tell you that the Bible is true. You cannot moo at God. That verse actually means you cannot make mouths at God. You cannot mock God and get away with it. Whatever you sow is what you will reap. So the question is, are there disconnects between what I say and what I do? No one sets out to get lost. And you guys, you know, I was telling the guys at the retreat, you know, a senior is someone who knows everything there is to know, and they know it. And guys are tough and ready, and we don't go into the woods thinking we're going to get lost. But I remember as a boy, we had a big woods behind us, and I went back in there with one of my brothers, and guess what? Got lost and walked and walked and walked and walked and finally came out completely at a different place than our home, and we had to walk a good distance once we got to the road to find our way home. No one sets out to get lost. It kind of happens. How do you describe it? It just kind of happens. You're not intending to be on the wrong road, but it just kind of happens that you end up being lost. Second question, are there discrepancies between what I desire in my heart and what I'm actually doing? Good question. Is there a discrepancy between what I desire in, and I would say to you again, young person, what do you desire deep, deep down in your heart? Is there a discrepancy between from your desire to what you're actually doing in your life? Very important that those discrepancies are looked at and amended to actually fit with our desire in life. And then the third question is this: is there an alignment between my intentions and my direction? I asked my dad, process of growing up, I said, Papa, what was it that motivated you in the way that you have led our family? You know what he said? He said, Dave, I looked around and I saw the results of different family leadership. And he said, I decided that was not the way I wanted to go. And he made some decisions about how he wanted to be a father and a leader in our home. Young person, are you thinking about what kind of a legacy you would like to have? Have you thought about what kind of a marriage you want to have? You should. Have you thought about what kind of brotherhood you want to be a part of? Have you thought about what kind of priorities you want to have in? And have you thought about finishing strong? Let me just say to you young people, you need to have the long look, which goes beyond tomorrow, beyond today, to 10 years down the road. And I've told you, you know, it's a struggle. We all go through it. Sometimes mom and dad just don't seem to have it together. Be patient with them. They'll grow up someday. Just got to be patient. I found out that as I got older, my dad got wiser and wiser. But there was a time that I didn't think he was too wise. And you struggle with submission. Or you say, it's like my son comes as a dad. Why? Why do we do this? You ever struggle with that? You think there's a better way? Well, let me just encourage you. There are regrets I have, but one regret I don't carry today. Some time ago, my dad went into the hospital, and I got the news, and it wasn't certain what his outcome would be. You know what went through my mind? It brought me such joy as a son. And my dad's praying for me today. I know he is. You know what brought joy to my heart? No one could take it from me. Nothing between me and my dad. Everything is clear. If my dad passes away, I don't have regrets about how I responded to the authority in my life. I have never regretted submitting to both my dad and to the church. No one can take the blessings from me and the freedom of that. Incredible joy, incredible peace. Yeah, I may have on the house when chalking a line, and I knew all about carpentry because I'd been doing it for 1 year, and my dad knew nothing about carpentry, even though he was trying to build a house, and we're on the ladder on either end of the house, and I'm pulling the chalk line, and it had to be straight. He didn't know how to do it straight, you know, so I pulled the chalk line even tighter and tighter until the chalk line broke. My dad got off the ladder. He walked into the house. I don't think he said a word. And he left me think about my response. Yes. Young people, do you know that today you're setting the course for how your children will respond to you one day? That makes it a little serious, doesn't it? You want your children to respect you and honor you someday? Actions, do your actions align with your intentions? Well, you got to think about that. Turn with me yet to Proverbs 27. This verse is used twice. It's in Proverbs 22, verse 3, Proverbs 27, verse 12. Interesting verse here. It says this: a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. This verse introduces us to two kinds of people: the prudent, who is wise and aware and alert, or the simple, who is naive and silly and foolish, easily subdued or persuaded. Both are on a path. Both see the danger, but they react differently and hence experience the different outcomes. See, the prudent man understands, and this is so important, that all of life is connected, that all of our decisions are connected with our destiny and are connected with the kind of life that we want to experience. The prudent man is aware of cause and effect, of sowing and reaping. He's aware that what he chooses today will determine what he experiences tomorrow, and therefore he looks down the road as far as possible when making decisions. He looks for trouble ahead, and he avoids it. Young people, can I call you students? Because I would go into school and have one-on-ones with students. And sometimes as I had one-on-ones with students, and they were struggling with life, I would look at them and I would say this: you know what? You're smart. You have the ability to discern and to observe. And I said to them, look around you and look at the choices that people make and the fruit of those choices. And it will help you in your own decisions and choices. Young man was sitting at his father's bedside as his father was dying. I was there to visit both, primarily his father. But as this young man was sitting there, he looked at me and he said, Dave, you know what? He said, I'm a brand plucked out of the fire. As a young man, he hung out with a guy named Bob. Bob was not good. My dad went to him out of concern and said, Lester, if you keep hanging out with Bob, he's going to take you places you don't want to go. Lester, with tears in his eyes, he told me that day, he said, Dave, he joined the Navy, Lester did, and he said, I'd be out on the boat, middle of the ocean, and I'd be looking through the porthole of the window of the boat, and he said, I would ask myself this question, where would I rather be than where I am right now? And he said, I thought of a little church in Dover, Delaware. He remembered the words of my dad, and in God's mercy, he said, I am a brand plucked out of the fire. You know what happened to Bob? Bob was drinking one night, driving a truck with a smashed cars on the back, went around a curve at a high rate of speed, car flew off the trailer and struck a 16-year-old girl in her car and killed her instantly. I talked to Bob in prison through a glass with a phone. I could not believe how hard he was. As far as I know, Bob went to eternity without Christ. Lester was a brand plucked out of the fire. See, God has given us principles. I love this. You know what? The answers to life are found in God's Word. And young person, you can bank your life on the principles of God's Word. His promises are sure. So Solomon says, and he ought to know, right? He says, guard your heart. Keep it above all keeping. Watch your mouth. Yeah, you guys ever had your mouth washed out? That's quite an experience. Maybe you said some things you shouldn't have said, and Mom went and got some soap. I don't like the taste of soap. Get your mouth washed out. Guard your mouth. Guard your focus and ponder the path of your feet. I'd like you to turn yet in closing to Hebrews chapter 11. For a real example of someone who looked at life. He looked at the options. He looked at the possibilities. And he made a choice. That person was Moses. Verse 23 of chapter 11. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Here's a key phrase. Choosing rather. Choosing rather to suffer affliction than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. I had a young student, about seventh grade. I noticed that this student was struggling. He was a good student, but his grades were suffering, and he just was struggling with life. And so on a one-on-one, I said to him, I said, "What's happening in your life? What's going on?" Finally, in one of the one-on-ones, he said, "Brother Dave, let me tell you what it is." He says, "I'm addicted to violent video games." Somehow he had got into gaming. And he says, "I can't let it go." And I said, "You know what? You're going to have to choose." It took him several months, and one day, I'll never forget, he came to the one-on-one in school. He said, "Brother Dave, I've made a decision." I said, "What's your decision?" He said, "I'm getting rid of it. I'm finished with them." Do you know something? He has never looked back. He was just ordained recently to the ministry of our church. Tremendous encouragement to our young people. He made a choice. Ponder the path, and may it be said of all of you young people sitting here today, when you come to the end of life standing erect and certain, may it be said of you, "He chose rather." She chose rather. There's something about that that just blesses me. You have a choice. Guess what? You live with your choices, and you have to take responsibility for your choices. But as you think about those choices, may it be said of all of us today, "He chose rather." He could have done that, but he chose this. He could have gone that direction, but he chose this direction. And if you want God's blessing on your life, and if you want to be standing erect at the end of life, you need to choose rather. Our family gatherings are precious times. And when I was a little boy, my daddy wasn't doing good. Our family could have been one of those families that dad and mom were separated. And my dad says this about that. He said, "You know, I knew what I should do, but I didn't have the power within me to do the right thing." And he prayed. He said, "God, you're going to have to put the power within me to do what I need to do." But sometimes at our family gatherings, I'd see tears in his eyes as he would pray, or as we would be there singing together. And then he'd say to us, he says, "Children, you need to know something very important." He said, "The blessings we experience today are the marvelous grace of God." Because at some point in my dad's life, he chose rather, and he never looked back. And I am forever grateful to both my dad and my mom for their steadfast commitment and faithfulness. That can be you and I. You know that? We have that potential. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you for this passage from Solomon. I pray that you would bless every young person here with a sense of destiny and purpose, a sense of deep desire to lay their hand in your hand and to follow you on a path that leads to a destiny of standing erect, of choosing rather, that would protect them from the pitfalls and the snare of the wrong path. And I pray for every family here today, for every father and mother. May all of us know how to encourage and stand beside each other so that we would be able to walk the path that you have given to us. We thank you for your faithfulness, and we commit each of ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.